This is Life Elsewhere, created and hosted by Norman B.
Hello there. Welcome to Life Elsewhere. I'm Norman B. Coming up in this edition, a conversation with a singer-songwriter out of the UK I recently discovered, Silken Summers. I'm raving on about this wonderfully talented artist, but I want to let you know that we're going to be touching on a topic that some listeners may find difficult: sexual fluidity. Let's get things underway then by hearing a cut from Silken Summers' 3-track EP titled Prone. This one is called Robots.
Sometime in the summer, I think it was July. Got a feeling and I didn't know why. I didn't want to be, but I didn't know if I was certain. Sometime in the summer, I think it was June, or maybe July. Felt like I got a feeling and I just didn't know why I wanna be. But then I didn't know if I was certain. Didn't want.
This beautiful piece of music is by an artist by the name of Silken Summers. The title is Robots, from a 3-track EP that I've been raving about. The title of the EP is Prone. And, you know, when I rave on about something, I always say, let's get the artist on. And yes, we've got the artist with us right now. It's Silken Summers talking to us from the UK. Silken Summers, welcome to Life Elsewhere.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I
have to let you know just how much I'm enjoying your music. We discovered it, I am not sure, a couple of weeks ago, and have just been raving on about it. Played one cut on the program, and now we're just going on and on. Well, I'm going on and on, which is what I do. So I want to know about you, and I want to know everything we can find out about Silken Summers. First of all, You've got a three-track EP called Prone, three cuts on here, which I really, really like a lot. And it's you're talking about an awful lot of things on here, and we want to get into the songwriting and what the songs are all about, your music. But let's start off with you. Your name, you've got a very interesting name, Silken Summers. I hate asking this question in some respects, but I'm just curious to know, is that your real name?
So Silken is a real name of mine. That was given to me by my mum. And Summers is I call it a taken name rather than a given name. But Summers is from, because I'm from Bermuda, and it is also known as the Summers Isles.
Ah, yes.
So that's where I got Summers from. And also Summers was, if I had been born a boy, I would have been given the name Summers.
So really? That's interesting. Too. That's really interesting. Ah, okay. Silken Summers. Well, it's a lovely name, and I think you're making very, very interesting music. I know about you. You haven't shared with us very much at all, and we want to get into talking about you, talking about your music. Let's start off with you giving us a little background about who you are and how you got into music.
Okay, so I was born in Bermuda, like I say. My family moved over to England when I was about five, I think. And I've been living here in Kent ever since. Right now I live in a little village next to a church, which is nice because I get the church bells playing for me every weekend, which is lovely. And how did I get into music? I think as a kid, we always had music playing in the house. Neither of my parents were musicians, but we had a very musical household, I think. We always had a lot of Motown on, I remember, but also a lot of, I remember we had All Saints. We had an All Saints album. That used to be on a lot.
Yeah.
And I used to just listen to music all the time and play around with my younger sibling. Me and my younger sibling used to sing harmonies together and sing rounds together and stuff like that because we were nerds.
So how did you get into to making music? Because there, and I want to get into this in a little bit later on, but your music is, to me, you're just a great songwriter, but there's a lot of complexity going on. So how did you get into music?
I honestly couldn't tell you where it came from because, like, for me, I just feel like I've always been making music. I've always wanted to make music. I know that when I was around 12, I got really into the idea of being in a band, and I set up a little band at school, and I was playing bass because I couldn't find anyone else to play bass. And then it became my favorite instrument. I did have a bass teacher at school, which was lovely. He was great. I remember watching a DVD of it was My Chemical Romance DVD, and they had a like a behind the scenes tour bit, and they were showing, you know, all the behind the scenes of their shows and the live performances and everything. I remember being really inspired by that and just thinking, yeah, I want to play shows and I want to be in a band. And that, alongside my interest in listening to music, just sort of went from there, really. And then at school, I was lucky enough to have, we had music technology as a separate subject in sixth form. And that was huge for me because it was I did music at school, but I was never really that great at it because a lot of it was very, you know, classically oriented, and I couldn't read music and I couldn't play any of the classical instruments very well. I've never been very proficient at, like, piano, which was the basic one. So having music tech as a subject and learning some production skills there was, I think, really important for me. And the teacher that I had there, ended up being absolutely a mentor for me. Like, he was always encouraging me to write and sing, to actually show people the things that I'd written, because I've always been really shy. And actually, I couldn't sing in front of people at all before him. Like, I would freeze up and I couldn't sing. And he sat me down facing away from him one time and got me to hum in front of him. And it was terrifying.
But you did it. You got through it.
But I did it, yeah. And that was a sort of breakthrough moment, really, because, you know, baby steps from there. But
it's very interesting how many people that I've interviewed over the years that suffer from stage fright and will tell me that they're incredibly shy. Yet when you see them up on stage, they just, something happens where they just sort of transform into this person that delivers. And are you like that? When now you've got over the, you said you got over the shyness, or are you still a little sort of suffering from stage fright? Do you go up on stage very often these days?
Not very often, no. I'm a very anxious person generally. Beyond shy, like, you know, I definitely, anxiety is something that has really been something that has held me back in life, and music is obviously has obviously been a really great way of dealing with it. And I think when I'm on stage, I think I am still very nervous, and I think that it shows. But it's also, I have my friend he's a brilliant musician by the name of Alabaster de Bloom. He says that fear is an ingredient in courage, and whenever you feel fear, you can know that you have one of the main things that it takes to build, to make courage. And that sort of mindset is kind of what comes to mind for me, because I'm always anxious when I'm performing, when I'm in front of people, when I'm talking. But I think that I found a way to be anxious and still do things.
Yes. Let's talk about the song that we started off with, Robots, from Prone, the EP. Yeah. Talk to me about Robots.
It's funny that you started by playing Robots, because originally Robots was going to be the first track on my EP, and I switched it to being the second, so that it was sort of sandwiched in the middle, because the title I plucked from Robots, the title of the EP, and that's right in the middle of that track. So I kind of sandwiched it in, but it was originally going to be the intro. And it's a kind of weird one. It sounds kind of mashed together and disjointed and uncomfortable, I think. But it's very much, I think that was intentional in a way, because it is, it's about uncomfortable things. It's about grief, being in a very heavy emotional state and not wanting to put that on anyone else.
You say something on your Twitter page, which I discovered. You say, first of all, I try. Then you say sound crafter. And then you say a word singer, song maker, word singer. And I love this part. Apparently a master of the sad song genre.
Yeah. that was from, when I was, the last band I was in, we put out an EP together that we'd done ourselves. And we had two singers in the band and two songwriters. And so one of the tracks on that EP was a song that I had written and sung. And it was a sad song. And the other two were kind of more indie rocky kind of songs. And we had a review of that EP. And I think it was the final line of the review. And I don't think this review is online anymore. I haven't been able to find it. I think it was the last line of the EP that said, Jacks of the indie trade, masters of the sad song genre. And I've always been kind of flattered and amused by that. And also because when we put out that EP, there was also a demo that was on our Bandcamp that was not on the EP. That was another sad song that I sang. I didn't write that one, but I sang it. And it was a very sort of scrappy kind of unfinished demo was on there, but the reviewer had actually reviewed that thinking that it was on the EP. And so that was included in the sad song section of his review. I don't know, I've always liked that, so I took it.
Going back to Robots for a moment, And you said it sort of, you think it sounds like it's sort of mashed together. I want to go into that a little bit. What do you mean by that?
The second section, I think it's sort of split into two sections, and the second section of that song was written, or most of it was written a few years earlier. It was written when I was probably about 16 years old. Uh-huh. And the intro-y bit of the song was written a lot later. I remember writing the intro-y bit. That was in Canada. And I was staying with a friend in Canada, and I wrote down those opening lines of that song. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to build that into a full song. And it never really happened. But then I realized I didn't need to do that. It could just stand on its own. So I just popped it at the beginning, because they're very different bits, but in my head they're about similar things. They're both about grief and about the sort of how grief just feels like it will never go away or never end, and it never really does. It gets smaller and it gets easier to deal with, but it never really goes away. So those are strung together, and there's a big sort of gap in the middle where the song sounds like it's thinking about what it's going to do next.
Yes. Let's talk about grief, if it's okay with you. And this is something which, when a songwriter talks about the inspiration or where the song comes from, of course, I'm always curious to go into it a little bit more. So you've talked about grief, and grief, it comes in many forms, doesn't it? And you just said some very interesting things about grief, and I'm wondering what, you don't have to go into the details unless you really want to, of course, but I'm just wondering, in terms of your song, Robots, and any of the other songs that you've written, and going back to this label of apparently a master of the sad song genre, which you laugh at, but at the same time, you do write some sad songs. So if you wouldn't mind, let's focus in on the sadness, on the grief. What for you is that about, if you want to talk about it?
Yeah, there's a lot. All of the songs on this EP are sad in some way. A lot of it is grief in different ways. And even within Robots, it being two separate sections, the thought behind those two separate sections, it was two different incidences or instances of grief. But it's a feeling that can be brought about by loads of different types of situations.
Yes.
And there's loads, I mean, within my EP, there's losing friends, there's losing lovers, there's losing opportunities even, there's losing versions of the self that could have been. Like, a lot of wringing my hands is about myself, and is about not being able to be the person that I thought I should be. And Robots is partly about losing someone who had been one of my very closest friends, and partly about losing someone who had been a family friend. She passed away when I was 12. And yeah, Robots is very much partly about her.
So when you say grief, you're not necessarily talking about death. In this instance, part of it is about losing somebody who passed away, but you're also talking about somebody that's not in your life anymore. Is that right?
Yeah. And I think, for me anyway, it can feel just as all-encompassing, whether someone has actually died or whether they're just gone from your life forever, or whether, you know, grieving a person, their life, or grieving experiences, or grieving the potential experiences that could never happen. I mean, there's a quote, and I can't remember who to attribute it to, but there's a quote that's something like, grief is the feeling of love with nowhere to go.
Ah, yes.
That's how I feel about it. And I also, because I was thinking about this morning, actually, I write a lot of love songs, and none of the songs on this EP, I don't think, are love songs in a traditional sense. Wringing My Hands comes the closest to being a love song, but it's still not. And I found it interesting that of the songs that I've written, the three that I chose to put on the EP, none of them are actually love songs. but then all of them are kind of grief songs. So
yes,
maybe
yes, yes,
a different version of a love song.
I'd like to hear you write a love song. I think that would be very interesting. You've mentioned wringing my hands a couple of times now, and I think it's appropriate that we play that track. We're talking to Silken Summers. The EP is called Prone. I think she is making amazing music. This track is called Wringing My Hands. This is Life Elsewhere.
Thank you.
If you just joined us, my guest is Silken Summers. She's talking to us via the magic of Skype out of a little village in Kent in the UK. You're summing up a picture for us there of the church and the little country lanes. It sounds lovely. We just heard a song from Silken's EP called Prone. It's a 3-track EP, and that track is called Wringing My Hands. This is the longest track on the EP. And when I first heard it, I thought to myself, this is, I loved it. On first hearing, I loved it. There is a part in the song where it seems to sort of break down. And I hope you know what I mean when I say break down. Do you follow where I'm going?
Yeah, there's a bit that crashes back in and is very big. I think Wringing My Hands was, in terms of making it, in terms of producing it, a lot of it was just a string of happy accidents, really. I kept just trying out different ideas and then doing them wrong and liking what I did better than what I planned.
Yeah.
Which is that I was quite ill when I was doing it, and I was really pushing myself to get the EP done and to push past being ill. And I kept thinking, I really hope that this sounds how I mean it to. And listening back to it, it doesn't. None of it. It all ended up working out, I think.
It's a long
song. Because with that song, I started with... Yeah, it's really long. It's my 8-minute pop song. I feel like I shouldn't have been allowed to get away with it. That's what I feel like. But there was no one telling me I couldn't, so
right.
I just did
it. So you did it, yeah. Talk to me more about the song, Silken, because you've explained so much, yet
I feel like you're not telling me everything, that you're talking about being ill and getting the song finished. What else are you not telling me?
So, yeah, I actually, a lot of the content of my lyrics is also about illness as well, and my experience with illness. I suffer with mental illness, I suffer with physical chronic illness, and I don't dwell on those things, but they do colour my experience. They colour my the way I experience life, and so it does come up in my music, and it did come up in the creation of it. It very nearly stopped the EP from even happening, because I did end up in hospital in December, and I didn't know how I was going to get this done, and I just came back and I just threw myself at it and got it done. It was a pretty wild ride.
You talked about anxiety, and now you talk about mental illness. And again, this is entirely up to you how far we go into this, but mental illness, for you, what does that mean?
Yeah, so I have what it could be considered an anxiety disorder called PTSD. I'm sure most people will be familiar with it, at least nominally. It's a post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Wringing My Hands is a cathartic song for me. It's kind of ironic that was the one that almost didn't get finished, because it's the song itself is about trauma, and it's about, in a roundabout way, it's about some of the events that caused me to now have a post-trauma disorder. So it's a really heavy one for me, and it was a really helpful one for me to write and make, because a lot of dealing with trauma is about processing and putting pieces together in your mind in a way that it can settle. And songwriting is a really hugely beneficial thing for that for me. I write everything that I struggle with. I write everything that I deal with that's traumatic, and it helps me process memories properly. It helps me process emotions and sensations properly. And Wringing My Hands is kind of the big one for that for me.
Writing is important to you, isn't it? Putting your thoughts down and getting them, not necessarily into songs, but I'm just presuming that you probably write poetry as well, because songs are poetry, aren't they? I mean, that's,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I write. I don't even necessarily think about whether I'm writing a song or a poem when I'm writing. I just write.
Right.
I just write words, and I just write feelings. And you say it's important. It is important. I would go further than that, and say that it is integral.
Like, it's integral. Yeah.
I couldn't not write, even if I didn't have anywhere to write it. I form in my head. I write poetry and constantly.
Right. Let me ask you this, because you writing it down or thinking about, and it just, as you said, it's integral. I'm wondering, talking about it right now, talking about anxiety, is that difficult for you? Maybe I'm asking a kind of sort of obvious question.
I think it has been difficult for me in the past, but I think nowadays I don't find it difficult. I find it difficult in a technical sense. Like, I find it difficult to express my thoughts around it, like to put into words my thoughts around it. But I am getting much more used to talking openly about what I deal with. There's been periods of my life where I've been very open, to the point of oversharing. There's been points where I've not been able to tell anyone anything about what I'm dealing with. And I think I might have reached a sort of happy medium where I'm happy to share. It doesn't feel uncomfortable to share uncomfortable things for me.
As you've said that, I've got a question that I want to ask you, which, again, I'm going to preface it by saying it's entirely up to you where we go with this. I'm talking to Silken Summers. Her EP is called Prone. It's three tracks. I think it's absolutely amazing. It's wonderful music. We're going to hear another cut just in a little while. But first, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, I'm going to ask Silken Summers about something that she's written on her Twitter page, where she says that she is she and they. And we're going to talk about that right after this.
We'd love to hear what you have to say. Write to this address, info@lifeelsewhere.co. That's C-O.
My guest is a very talented singer-songwriter, poet, Silken Summers. We're talking to her via Skype. She's in a lovely village in Kent, in the UK. If you've never been to Kent, you should, because it's just a lovely place, like all the counties in England are, of course, because I'm very biased. Silken has an EP
called
The
Garden of England.
The Garden of England. Yes, that's right. It is. It's The Garden of England. You got it. Silken's EP is called Prone. We've played two cuts already. We're going to play another one in just a few moments. On your Twitter page, I've already read out some of the things that you describe yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you say at the very end, they stroke she. Now, I think that I know what that means. I think I do. But I'm not sure that I've got it completely right. So I'm going to ask you, Silken, to explain what you mean by they and she.
Yeah, I think it, I mean, it's, yeah, it's about gender. And it's about my experience of gender and about my fluidity of my experience. And I use to refer to myself both she pronouns and they pronouns because I feel, you know, I'm a woman, I feel connected to womanhood, and I also consider myself to be non-binary, which means that I experience gender in a way that is not sufficiently described by just female.
Mm.
So the binary options obviously being male or female, and I exist in a place that is not solely female. So right. That's why I use she and they.
Can we go into this a little bit more? Because
sure,
it seems to me, in here we are in 2020, that things have changed. When we talk about non-binary and we talk about sexual identity and fluidity,
yeah.
There are some people amongst us who get very sort of scared by this idea that somebody could be anything other than male or female. I'd just like to get your take on that, Silken.
Yeah, I think people are afraid of what they don't understand. I also think that people have a desperate need to understand things a lot of the time.
Mm.
And they sometimes want to understand something straight away, and they don't want to have to listen.
Yeah.
Or learn. They want to know straight away. And if they are faced with something that they don't immediately understand, they want to understand it, but they don't immediately, and then they freak out and can become very nasty in that fear.
Yes.
But I don't know how many other non-binary people feel this way, but I often want to say that it's actually okay to not understand something.
Mm.
It's okay to accept something for someone else without immediately knowing the ins and outs, because I can guarantee that everyone in the world, I can guarantee that everyone has met someone who is transgender or non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
Without knowing.
Yes.
And it didn't ruin your life.
You know? Yes, yes.
It didn't ruin your day. Like, we're just people and we move amongst people. Nobody would know looking at me. You can't know by looking at someone if they are trans or non-binary.
Right.
We're just people.
Right. Yes. Yes. Do you think that there's too much emphasis put on sexual identity?
I almost feel like the emphasis can be put in the wrong place.
Yes.
Like, it's especially recently, it's a big topic.
Mm.
And a lot of people are talking about it and shining a light on it. And it's not always in a helpful way, I think. I don't personally mind, because for me, it's not just about me or who I am, and it's not about how we look or how we dress or who we have relationships with. You know, it's about community, and it's about humanity, and it's about us being people who should be accepted and celebrated as human beings in the world. So I don't mind an emphasis being put on it sometimes in a way to elevate things that have been suppressed historically.
Yes.
But I also, you know, not to insult anyone who works as a circus sideshow, but I actually
right.
just that. But
yes.
You know, it's not. It doesn't have to be this crazy, new, weird thing. You know, it's but like to shine a light on it and just say like isn't this great that people can be so diverse and magical and different and human. I like that.
Do you think, and yeah. This is a difficult question really, because it's an obvious question, and in a lot of respects I'm kind of loath to ask this, but your sexual identity, your non-binary status, is this something which is, in some respects, this is affected, or this is part of your anxiety? Please forgive me in a lot of respects. I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way. But it's a question which I feel like I need to ask. Is that part of what has caused you trauma?
I think that's a really good question, because I think, and I feel a responsibility to say that I think for a lot of people it is.
Yeah.
For a lot of people who are trans, we as a community deal with a lot of abuse and a lot of internal turmoil around who we are and how we fit in the world.
Yes.
But I also think that for me, I've had a really easy ride when it comes to it. The only bit of confusion or anxiety I ever really had was before I had the terminology.
Yes.
To understand or describe myself, because I've always felt the same way, and I've always felt that I knew who I was. But I didn't have the words to describe it until a few years ago, you know. And I did have, I remember as a kid being sort of confused about, I had a little moment as a kid, I had a while where I kind of sort of in the back of my mind felt like, oh, I should have been a boy, or I wish I could be a boy. But not really, but kind of, and it used to confuse me in that, because I'm quite a flamboyant person. Mm-hmm. I like pink and I like glitter and I like sparkles and I like pretty things, and those were all very feminine things. So I don't feel not feminine. I am definitely a feminine person.
Yes.
You know, I like a lot of things associated with femininity. And I was like, well, why would I want to be a boy who was right. feminine? Like, yes. what's the point in that? Like, that
right.
doesn't make
right.
any sense.
Yes.
And if I'd known that boys could be as feminine as they like, and B, that there were other options beyond right. just being a woman and being a man, I would have cleared things up for me. I wouldn't have had those nights where, because I did have, you know, nights where I would just cry about it just because I was confused.
Yes.
And that didn't make any sense. And now I make perfect sense, because it's just having the word non-binary, or just having the word gender fluid, or even in terms of, you know, sexual orientation, just having the word pansexual or bisexual.
Right.
Just having these words clears so much up. And for me, I didn't experience a lot of outside abuse.
Yes.
For these things. Not a lot, anyway. So it wasn't a huge factor in my dealing with other people a lot of the time. But in my head, it was a little confusing before I had the language to describe it.
Talking about language, you have a wonderful way with words. I've noticed in listening to you and listening to your songs, you have a wonderful vocabulary. And I'm wondering whether English has been a big, big part of your growing up, a part of your education. Talk to me about that.
I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking about this last night, and I was thinking I did used to read a lot as a kid, and I don't read a lot now, and I wish I did, because I do enjoy reading. And I did also, I read the dictionary once a kid. I just cover to cover, obviously it took me a while, but I did read the dictionary, and I don't know how much of it stuck.
I think a lot of it stuck, because you use words very well. It's very important for you to use the right words. I can hear it. You're very selective in the language that you use. I want to go back quickly, because we only have a certain amount of time. I want to just go back quickly, and I'm going to ask you again another question, talking about non-binary and you finding out about self-discovery of your sexual identity. Something which I feel I need to ask you, and that is family, about family reaction and family response. And the reason I'm asking this is because I know a lot of people listening right now are in certain situations where they are afraid to talk to their family or siblings or whatever. I'd just like to get your take on that, Silken.
I think that family is a very broad term.
Yes.
And I think that not everyone is lucky enough to have been born into or put into a family that is accepting of them.
Yeah.
But you can find family in other places if the one that you got born with doesn't work out.
Yes, so well put. Yes.
I'm close with my mum. I have a good relationship with my mum, and my mum's always been super accepting of me and super supportive of me, and I'm really lucky for that, because I'm very aware that not everyone has that. And my mum she's very kind of laid back with these things, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me before, she's very funny, my mum. She said to me before, like, I remember her once saying to me, she said, "I would love you even if you were straight."
That's great. That's fantastic. And
she's gone to Bermuda, where I'm from, is not great on the LGBT community thing. There's a lot of kind of drama and awfulness around that in Bermuda, but they did have their first ever pride last year. They had a pride parade. And I wasn't able to be there, but my mum went and held a huge rainbow flag for me and for everyone else in Bermuda that is in our little community. And
so touching. It really is. Oh, my goodness. Talking about touching, lovely segue here. Let's play another cut. This one we've played on the program before. It's called Tender Head, Tender Hearts. We're going to play it from Silken Summers, and then we'll have a little chat. This is Life Elsewhere.
Tells me I may wait forever.
Tender Head, Tender Heart, from the three-track EP titled Prone, from my guest, Silken Summers. I love that song. I love it. Can you talk about it?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I've realised it's a title because I'm not sure if everyone is familiar with the term Tender Head.
Yes.
Which... It's a term for particularly children who find it really painful to have their hair done.
Yeah.
And that's just about me. And it's partly a reflection on me, on my childhood and on me as a child. And I was very tender-headed and I've always been very sensitive and very... very easily hurt, but also very loving. So that's where the title of that song came from. I really enjoyed making that song as well. I'm really happy that people like it.
I want to talk to you more about your music, about your how you write songs. Just there's so much more, the orchestration, how you put everything together. There's so much, but unfortunately, we're rapidly running out of time. So what I'm going to suggest is that we get you back on and just talk strictly about music. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Maybe we can even do a, we can even, I've been thinking about doing this for some time. Get you on and we'll play some music and you can tell us what you think of it. How does that sound?
Yeah, that would be so cool. I would love to do that.
Right. We have been talking to the lovely, the very, very talented Silken Summers. It has been a delight talking to you, and thank you so much, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, for being so open and so incredibly just letting us talk to you about things which I think some people might find very hard to talk about, and I really appreciate that a great deal. You are a very, very special person, and I'm so honoured that we found you and were able to play your music. My guest, Silken Summers, thank you so much for joining us at Life Elsewhere.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a delight. Thank you.
Big thank you to my guest Silken Summers, and a big thank you to you for listening. If you'd like to hear this edition again, you have a lot of choices. Go to any of our affiliate stations, or pop on over to NPR One, Apple Podcasts, or head to Mixcloud, or wherever you get your podcasts from. All the links and details are up at lifeelsewhere.co. If you have feedback, I'd like to hear from you. So grab something to write with, because you'll hear my email address in just a moment. Till next time. Be well, be good, and always be nice.
You have been listening to Life Elsewhere, created and hosted by Norman B. Life Elsewhere is written and produced by Norman B. Guest booking and additional research by Stephanie Lane. Behind the scenes assistance by James Van, Bruce Goodman, and Allison Klein. We love to hear what you think about Life Elsewhere. Send your questions, queries, and comments to info@lifeelsewhere.co. That's C-O. Life Elsewhere is produced at the studios of WMNF Tampa.